Before I get to the message, I have to mention a couple of things here. I've had to deal with ministry to a number of people this week. And I don't know if you've noticed, but or if you're aware, but there seems to be fewer and fewer people who are praying these days. In fact, for the first time in the history of this nation, there is under 50% of the people of the United States of America who actually believe in the God of the Bible. First time. There is less prayer these days. There's many reasons. But the one I heard most, and especially this week, is it doesn't seem to make any difference. And I have felt that way myself from time to time. After intense prayer for 3 solid years, my prayer for Sylvia ended when she died. For 3 solid years, I and thousands of others prayed that she would live. All those prayers were over when she died. And we're inundated with sermons on prayer. We're inundated with the idea that God will always answer our prayers. We are inundated with the idea that God will give us what we want. This is not going to be something that is going to be received well, but it is an empirical reality regardless. God doesn't give us everything we want. God does not always answer the prayers in the way we want those prayers answered. Now, you can deny that, but it's delusion. The reality of the situation is many of us have prayed. We've had friends who are dying. We have had friends who are injured severely. We have had friends who are sick and afflicted. And we've prayed. And we've asked others to come and stand by our side in prayer. And those people remain afflicted. Many of them have died. There was no change. That is reality. Whether you accept it, whether you believe it, we come up with excuses. The one I find the most reprehensible is when someone prays for someone and then they don't receive that healing. And then the blame is laid on them.
Yeah.
You didn't have enough faith. Well, apparently neither did you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my unbelief is greater than your belief. Mazel tov. I win. We are so desperate that the mere mention of a prophecy of healing is applauded. And there was a man who came through here, and he proclaimed with all boldness. He asked, I perceive there is a woman in this congregation who is barren. If you are that woman, raise your hand. And I knew who it was. And she did raise her hand. And the prophecy was, by this time next year, you will be with child. And this place had approximately 600 people in it, and it erupted in applause and cheers. People were screaming. Everybody except me and that woman. My first reaction was, "Oh, crap." You may not think I sound like other rabbis, but I am an honest man. And then I rebuked myself dramatically. I said, "Bert, you're a jerk. You know that God is able, that he is willing. You know that. He could speak a word. This would happen. There is, the scriptures are replete with barren women who have given birth. Stand with this woman in faith and believe." And I did, for a solid year. And then at the end of that year, when all the cheers had been forgotten, when all the prophecy had been forgotten, there was only one man who walked up to her and said, "It's been a year. I just wanted to tell you, I'm sorry, sis." And she broke. She broke down. Just started weeping. And we sat right over there, embracing one another. And we both wept. Her heart was broken. All those cheers. I never cheer a prophecy. I rejoice at the fulfillment of that prophecy. Does that make me a man of no faith? Perhaps. Not relevant to me what other people think of me. The reality is what it is. There was a prophecy. And that prophecy did not come to pass. That woman's hopes, my hopes, a year's worth of prayer. She's still barren. There are many parts of me that are idealistic, that see past this present reality to things and see things how they could be. But then there's another part of me. You know, that part of me is the architect. And draw things out, and I can see things that don't exist, but that I know could exist. And then there's the engineer in me. This ain't gonna work. Can't build this. You can draw it, but you can't build it. And you have to modify and you have to adapt. And I've come to a place in my walk with God where I believe we have placed too much emphasis on the end result of prayer, not on the actual act of prayer. And if your emphasis is on the end result of prayer, your faith is going to take a number of hits, and some of those hits are going to be severe, especially when it's somebody you're praying for that you desperately love. And things don't happen the way you want them to. And it's like any other fight. I've been in the ring. I've spent a lot of time in the ring. Very few fights are over with one punch. when they are, it is a mismatch. You know, if I were to step into the ring with Mike Tyson, the fight would be over with one punch. But then again, I'm 72 years old, and I was never the heavyweight champion of the world. So there's a mismatch there. But when people are somewhat equally matched, those fights are not over with a single blow. There's an accumulation of blows. And we are in a fight. Paul speaks of it dramatically. And each one of those blows make us a little weaker. And my defense against those blows has been to return to the ancient Jewish understanding of prayer. An understanding forged in the furnace of affliction, in 1,000 gulags, in the concentration camps of Europe, in the expulsions from one nation after another nation of another nation, where every one of our physical possessions have been absconded. They have been taken from us. And we have been forced to leave carrying the clothes on our back. That is where my understanding of prayer comes from. And I'm not talking just about Jews in general. Messianic Jews were in those camps as well. Jews who professed Yeshua Hu Adon, Jesus, He is Lord. Messianic Jews were expelled from Spain. Messianic Jews were in the gulags. They all prayed. Their prayers weren't answered the way they wanted them to be. Yet they continued to pray. There is a basket full, a yalchut, of stories where rabbis and lay people, Jews in the camps, Hitler's camps, would donate morsels of meat and other pieces of food from their meager sustenance to squeeze oil out so that they would have enough by Hanukkah to light the Hanukkiah. For 8 days. The prayers continued. Why? If, like these people who I've been ministering to this week, come to believe it doesn't, why would they continue to pray while others cease? Because their understanding of prayer was significantly deeper than the end result. Prayer is an act of humility. And it produces a connection. It is reaching out to another person. It is reaching out and touching God. That's what prayer is. It's a connection with the Holy One of Israel, Ein Sof, the Eternal One. It's where this physical reality touches the divine. If we stop praying, we sever that connection. It's broken. We isolate ourselves. We become arrogant because then we realize, well, I guess I'm going to have to do this myself. And we begin to rely on our own understanding. Does that always work? No. But at least I can have a conversation with myself and I answer. Ask my wife. When I pray, I am admitting I need God. That I cannot stand alone. My prayer recognizes that there is a God and that He is sovereign and that He is the power behind all that I am capable of doing. It removes me as the source of my own strength and recognizes the source of that strength is my Lord. And it also recognizes that my Lord is sovereign. When I was a young believer, I always wondered, why did the Lord command us to pray? He's going to do what He wants to do anyway. My prayers are not going to stop the will of God from coming about. Why do I pray? I pray because I then recognize that God is sovereign. I ask Him to do things and then accept whatever His answer is, whether it answers my prayer the way I would like or whether that prayer is not answered. My faith is not dependent upon my God answering my prayers the way I want Him to answer. If it was, I'd be working as a carpenter, not as a preacher. I would have left the Lord a long time ago. There are too many times I've prayed and those prayers just weren't answered the way I wanted them to. In these days that we live, do not stop praying. Continue to pray to the one who is above all of this. The one who is our help in time of need. For we are coming into a time when we're going to need the leading of God to negotiate the times we live in. And be willing to accept whatever the answer to that prayer is. Do not hinge your faith in God. And whether God gives you all the things you want. In point of fact, if God gave me all the things I wanted, I'd have been dead long time now. Not everything I want is really conducive to life. I mention it because I have to assume that there's more than just the few people who called me wondering. In these days, it is very difficult. We pray a lot, and yet we see the world continuing to head to a place that we are praying against. If we're in the times that I believe we're in, these are going to be looked at as the good old days. For the time of tribulation that is coming will be significantly more severe. The Jewish people prayed diligently for the Lord to stop Hitler, for the Lord to stop Stalin, for the Lord to stop Torquemada. The list of names is endless and irrelevant. To stop evil, and yet evil many times flourished. David proclaims, I never saw a righteous man go hungry. I have. I've seen that. He had a different context in mind there. God supplies all the needs. And sometimes there's times of hunger betwixt those needs being presented. If we are in the times I believe we're in, we're heading towards a certain place, and it will not be pleasant. And your faith will be tested. I remember a preacher on the radio when I first got down here, our blessed hope is in the rapture. Seriously? My blessed hope is in the one that I meet in the air. Not the moment in time when that happens. I have no idea if I'll last long enough to be lakach, taken up. I might meet him sooner. Just some words for you to ponder as you hear more and more these days that God's going to give you everything you want. From this pulpit you hear that's not true. It's not as warm and fuzzy as the other message, but it's a bit more accurate.